Thank you, Rabbi Walkin, for your warm words. Nice things you said about me. I'll pay you later as a greeting. Earlier, Rabbi Walkin asked me what I'm going to be speaking about. And I said, I'm waiting to hear what you say. You'll inspire me. And with the inspiration that you gave me, I'll be able to say something. So everything I'm saying right now is coming on the power of the inspiration I just got from Rabbi Walkin. So I'm just going to go and tread, be misavik b'afar raglov, to roll in the dust his feet and just embellish some of the things that he raised. we'll take his first point and his last point. First point, he said, why do we stay up all night? So it's brought down in the Zohar in a few places that the staying up all night and learning is adorning the Kala. Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people are the Kala, and the learning that we do is like every word of Torah that we say is a type of jewelry that we're adorning Knesset Yisrael with. And then Rav Shimon and his Talmidim were very, it's mentioned a few places in Zohar, how they were very, very, they said we have to learn, and we have to learn hard, and we have to learn with valor, because we are adorning Kishute Kala for the Zivug, to Mamash, the union between Am Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Matan Torah, which happens at Alos HaShachar. So it's like the last few hours before the union, which happens at Alos HaShachar, and hence what's brought down in Kisvei Ari to go to the Mikvah at Alos HaShachar, that's the union. And we're up all night, putting on, adorning ourselves, to make the union. And I'll be here, Bezrat Hashem, with you. And we'll just have a rocking night, Bezrat Hashem. So now I want to relate to what Rav Walkin raised at the end, the very interesting halakha, that generally, whether you have to eat on Yom Tov or you can just learn all day on Yom Tov, is a machloket, Reb Lazar and Reb Yeshua. We possibly like Reb Yeshua, split it. Chetz Yolachem, Chetz Yolachem, may we get up early, learn, and daven, learn until chatzot, and then from chatzot, from midday on, party until the night comes in. That's the way we paskin. But as Rav Walkin pointed out, interestingly enough, and seemingly counterintuitively, Rabbi Lezer admits to Rabbi Yoshua that on Shavuos, Kul Yom Amod Bin Lachem, it's Yom Shenitna Torah, the day the Torah was given. Amazing thing. And that same Gemara continues with Rav Yosef. And Rav Yosef, who interesting, he was called in Shas, his nickname was Sinai, right? Because he knew all the Mishnayos and the Brises. Interesting. Interesting. And so it's Rav Yosef, who was called Sinai, says, on Shavuos, Igla Tilta, we got to have the best meat. Igla Tilta is like a type of calf that's the best meat. YY says, over here, we don't do cheesecake, right? We're not, that's for, we're real men over here. We do it. So we have Igla Tilta Shavuos night, right? None of this like sushi. It was just real meat. And it's Igla Tilta. Right, Dilav Haihu Yoma the Kogorim Kama Yosef Ika Beshuka. If not for this day, that and what it caused. Interesting question. And what it caused. There's so many Yosef in the marketplace. What is he saying? What is he saying? He engaged in Torah as a profession. What's he comparing himself to the marketplace? And also, he was a really bright guy, a man who knows all the Mishnayos and all the Brises, right? If he would have gone into law, he would have been a great lawyer. If he went into medicine, he would have been a great doctor. So, Kama Yosef Ika Beshuka. What's he saying? What is he saying? We accepted the Torah twice, in this last week before Shavuos. And, in Parshas Yisro only says Kosher Dibar Hashem Naaseh. But there's another account of Matan Torah in Parshat Mishpatim, which, interestingly enough, the Torah takes a break after a great Sinaitic event that's described in a very scary, awesome way. In Parshas Yisro, we Parshas Mishpatim, which interestingly opens up with a very interesting Rashi. Ezra is also going to put the laws before them, which is the whole monetary law, right? So before them, Keshulchan Aruch Muchan Lech, like a set table ready to eat. And that's Rashi's metaphor for making them really understand what they're learning. Set it up. It tells them Keshulchan Aruch Muchan Lech, that's called Lahavinem Tame Ador. They understand what he's saying. Use a metaphor, a set table ready to eat. Right? Say like the sun on a bright day, use some metaphor about clarity, right? No, it's all like eating, right? To understand it. is called, to understand it, Tam Me'adover, is Keshulchan Aruch Muchan Lech. And then we have the second version. You wouldn't know what you're looking at if you didn't look at the Mefarshim. Whole other account of Matan Torah, where it's a lot more laid back. Vayechsu eshal kim, vayochlu vayishtim. They saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is referring to all the visions of Mamre Har Sinai, and they ate and they drank. They didn't drink, you know. And in that parsha, in Parshas Mishpat, in that account, is where it says, Kosher Dibra Sem Naasev Nishma. The famous Naasev Nishma is by that alternate version of Matan Torah, which is a lot more laid back, with eating and drinking, so it's Naasev Nishma. All it says in Yisrael is Kosher Dibra Sem Naasev. And you know, true to form, Parshas Mishpat brings down both. That initially they said Kosher Dibra Sem Naasev, a day or two later, some say it was on this day of Erev Shavuos, they said some hold it was on Shavuos itself. Kosher Dibra Hashem Naaseh V'Nishma. You know what's this between Naaseh, which sounds good, committed to do, Naaseh V'Nishma. What is that adding? And that was only revealed by the second account of Matan Torah, which is more in the context of a festive occasion, as opposed to the account of Parshas Yisro, which is an awesome, frightening, type of description of the event, right? So, we'll ask one more question, okay? And I did not count Omer yet tonight, and if I accidentally say the number of the night, I am being Moser Modad that I have in mind not to be Yotze, and I'm only going to have in mind to be Yotze when I say it properly with a bracha, right? The Torah says Tisprul Chamishim Yom, count 50 days. How many do we actually count? Don't have in mind, don't say that number, right? We don't count the 50th day. Shavuos is not in the count. Right. Why is that? Right. So the truth is like this, to understand the miraculousness of this day, the awesomeness of this day, right? Shavuos, the 50th, cannot be part of the count, right? Because it's not just one more. It's infinite more. During the day Zomer, we're going step by step, one acquiring one good midah, adding another good midah, step by step by step. And then on the 50th day, we have this massive breakthrough, and we're not getting one more. We're getting infinity. You can't ascribe a number to it. It happens to be the 50th relative to the days that came before it, but it's not another unit that you could give a definite quantity to. We're getting God's Torah. And God's Torah, as the Pasuk says, it's longer than the earth, wider than the ocean. It's God's wisdom. So if God's infinite, then his Torah's infinite. And Torah indeed, just doesn't stop anywhere, right? If you really show up and really pay attention, you could see something new in Torah, even something you learned already, which is, by the way, a halacha, which is learned out in preparation by this day they came to the desert of Sinai. So Rashi raised the question to me on that day. We're talking about a past event. No, you have to view Torah as if it was given fresh every day. And it's not a halacha of self-deception. Torah is infinite. And we're still seeing new things. We have new questions that arise that our forefathers didn't deal with because, they didn't have this technology that raises these questions. They didn't have these medical ethics, these medical ethical questions that we're dealing with here in the 21st century. And we could go right back to the sources in the Talmud and find answers. The Torah is really limitless. It's a bottomless pit, in a good way, of depth and relevance. And of course, when you get into the secrets of Torah, just forget it, right? It just goes and goes and goes, right? So it's, the 50th day is just not one more day, right? It represents infinity. That's why, where do we find the concept of 50, right? So we know the Eved Nirtza, a slave that says he loves his master, he doesn't want to go free, so we pierce his ear. Va'avado le'olam, right? You should serve him forever. So we know that the halacha is that it's not literally le'olam, forever, it's until the 50th year, the yovel. Because the 50th year, which is like a grand reset, It's like a grand reset. And that's why all steakhuses that were sold, a ancestral land that was given from the time that Yehoshua divided land goes back to its original owner. 50th is a grand reset, you know, not in the way the globalists say, you know what I mean? In a good way, you know, that infinite power enters the universe and everything therefore goes back to fresh start. Not everything is like, you know, and that's what the 50th represents in every place. It's 50th is actually where finity meets infinity. And that's what the Torah is. And that's why, you know, everyone knows. The angels complained, you know, God, give us the Torah. It's your wisdom. At least we're holier. We're at least closer to you, right? And Hashem says, no, I'm giving it to the Jewish people. But he didn't want just, he demanded that Moshe make a case, right? And Moshe goes up and says, he confronts the angel and says, listen, you guys don't steal. You guys don't have money. You guys don't have hatred. Right, we got all that bad stuff. We need the Torah, which is really what Parshas Mishpatim is all about. Which we'll read right after Matan Torah is Parshas Mishpatim, monetary law. It always deals with theft and damages and lying. And then a guy who didn't discharge his responsibilities as a shomer to guard something, right? Which is really why we got the Torah. But, you know, I don't know. You know, it's obvious that we got the Torah because we had a Jewish lawyer. Because these arguments are crazy. They're crazy. Right, we're saying we're really bad, and that's why we should get the Torah. What's it say? No, really, it's a famous chazal. Everyone knows. Everyone think what it really means, right? We're so bad, so we get the Torah. We steal, right? We have jealousy. You know, we fight. We're mortal, and we have father, and we were enslaved, to Paro and Egypt, all types of stuff. You know, you think the holy people, like the angels, the holy guys, they should get the Torah, right? Right, but the answer is like this, right? That the Reb Arshim did an amazing thing, right? He takes his holy Torah, which is something even above where the angels are from, his infinite wisdom, and he puts it on earth, right? To that the kingdom of heaven should be transferred to earth. If the angels would have gotten the Torah, then the Torah would have stayed in heaven, because that's where they live, right? This earth would have never been conquered and converted into part of the kingdom of heaven, but not just a part of kingdom of heaven. Here's an amazing medrash. It says that the final end of, during creation, God said, Ra'okim Kitov, he saw it's good, right? Then it comes to the final end of creation. Ra'okim Karsa, Vine, Tov Ma'od. It's very good. So the medrash wanted, everything was just good, 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 good. Now it's very good. What's the very good, right? So it says, Tov Zachayim, Tov Mod Zahamisa, Tov Zagan Eden, Tov Mod Zagehenna, right? And it goes on and on and on. Tov Zayetzer Tov, Tov Mod Zayetzer Hara. The very good, the good is the good stuff, what we call good. Yetzer Tov, Gan Eden, right? Life. The very good is all the bad stuff, the Yetzer Hara, the Gehenna, death itself. That's the very good. Right? Because what's good since God created the world, God already did that. He made that good. The making the world go from good to very good is when you convert the evil to good. And that's how you make a good world a very good world. A very good world. And you need the power of the Torah to do that. And as I said, if you guys keep, you the angels, you guys keep the Torah, so all the bad stuff on earth will never get converted. Not just to become good, but to become the very good. The Tosefet Tova, the additional goodness that Reb Arshim wants to add to his universe. And says the Medrash another thing over there. The word Ma'od, very, is the same words, same letters as Adam, man. It's man's job. If man gets God's Torah, just like God with the Torah created the world, if man gets God's Torah, he comes and he turns all the bad stuff into good stuff. That's why we got the Torah. That's why. That's man's mission. That's why man has to get the Torah. That we have to be creators. But we do an amazing thing that, God himself didn't do. He left it off to make the evil into good. Convert the world. And that's what he said. If we get the Torah, we change the world. You guys get the Torah, the world stays the same. That's an amazing thing. So God gives us his infinite Torah, right? that we should also be creators with it, that we're going to convert the bad into the very good, right? And make the tikkun of converting the world that the angels can't do. Amazing thing. But we have to, on one hand, know, be in awe that we're getting God's infinite Torah. And that's what we're working with. That's the power, right? That is the power that we're working with. There's a medrash in Parshas Pa'aloscha that says that gives the following mushal, right? That a sighted man was leading a blind man everywhere. And then, you know, the sighted man gets the blind man safely into his house. Safely into his house. And now the blind man says, you know, to the, you know, the sighted man says to the blind man, right, you know your way around your own kitchen, right? Light a candle for me. Light a candle for me. So, buddy, you know, you're the one with the eyes. You want me to light a candle for you? So it says, shalot toxically tov. I don't want you to feel so, you know, indebted to me. I want you to also, you know, give me some light. So also, Akash, well, even though he is the sighted man, and even though he sees everything, he tells Am Yisrael to light the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, which represents the light of Torah. Which represents the light of Torah. Hashem says, I want you to give me light. And that's how Parsha put us, the Torah, on earth, that we should give him light. But think about what the metaphor is saying, right? You know, the blind man who's making light, he's making light, right? But he can't even see the greatness of what he's doing, right? And that's it. When we learn Torah and we have whatever understanding that we have, you should know what's happening is a lot bigger than us. Even the little that we see and we understand, we appreciate, and we have geschmack from, we're still the blind man. And it's what's happening when we learn Torah is much bigger than us, much bigger. You know, it's bringing light into the heavenly realms, right? Ki ner mitzvah v'Torah or, when we learn Torah on earth, it's like much bigger than whatever we can imagine. So we have to treat Torah that way, treat it with, you know, the proper respect, right? You know, to know what we're dealing with, right? The awesome power is, and that's the account of Parshas Yisro, to give us kavod at Torah, give us respect for Torah. The awe, right? Right? You know, the awesomeness of the power that, you know, that the angels wanted, you know. So we need the, and of course, mystically, in a way that we can't imagine, both events happened simultaneously. It felt awesome and it was a party. But to explain it to us in human terms, the Torah had to divide up the two accounts into two parshas. And the theme of Parshas Yisro is to give you kavod haTorah. You're getting awesome power. Like, you know, you could hear even in the narrative of Parshas Yisro, everything Chazal say, that Am Yisro dropped dead from fear and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to resurrect him. You can even feel that in the Psukim, even without reading that Gemara. Right? The awesome power that came to earth, because you got to know what you're dealing with to give it the proper respect and the proper seriousness, because Torah has to be learned be'emer v'yir reses uv'zeah, with trembling and shuddering, the way it was given. Right? But in Parshas Mishpatim, we put the emphasis that on the other aspect, that Torah did indeed come down. It left heaven, and now it's based on earth. Right, and that's why we have all the dine mamonis, all monetary law. Then they're like, oh, come on, just leave Torah an issue of the shul, right? But go to court, God forbid, secular court, and let the civil authorities let them handle this stuff, you know, of, you know, antitrust and, yeah, and monopolies and damages and theft. No, the Torah handles everything. The Torah handles everything because, you know, hey, because that way you're living with the word of God with everything you do, but also with the power of Torah handling everything, everything is getting tikkun. Everything's being fixed and everything's being elevated to become the Tov Ma'od. But since the Torah came down to such a level that even deals with our monetary affairs, so since it came down so low, that's why we could have a understanding of it. So even though the understanding we have it, you know, pales into the real understanding that we're like the blind man lighting the candle, but we still have tremendous geschmack from it. Because the Torah really, really, this thing that's from the highest place down, really, really came down. It really came down. It's really here, right? And it governs all affairs. Because it's really here, I could internalize it because it came that far down. If it came down to handle my money, so it reached here, it reached the level of head, it reached the level of heart, so I can internalize it like food. Like food, right? So besides the fact that, like Rav Wolkin dealt with this, that we are with the power of Torah, so we turn all our eating into Kedusha, I believe, you know, he definitely, touched it, but it's something else. You know, Torah is delicious, because it really came down. It's really from the high side. It came out to our level that it reaches here and here, so we could really have a real appreciation of it and a real geschmack from it. And because it came so far down, it becomes a part of us, like food. It becomes a part of us, like food. Right? And that's the emphasis that's made in Parshas Mishpatim, the aspect how Torah really came down, right? You know, Parshas Mishpatim put the essence about, you know, that Torah came from heaven. You know, Parshas Mishpatim put the emphasis that Torah really came down and is really a part of us, right? And it's like, and we could make it a part of ourselves, like just like food itself. And the understanding that we have in Torah is the understanding of internalization, that we really internalize, really take the Torah into our head and our heart, right? Keshuchan aruch muchan lechol. That's what Chazal came. Vayochlu vayishtu. They took in the ziv hashchina. Vayochlu vayishtu. Margol pumei rav. Olam ba em belo achil doshtil. Tzig yoshim. Vatarosem broshem. Venen in meziv hashchina. Shenemar. Vayechsu Chazal came. Vayochlu vayishtu. That pos vayechsu came. Vayochlu vayishtu. Alludes to olam haba. We like take in the ziv hashchina like food and drink. Right? And that's the experience they had by Matan Torah. And that's why everyone admits, you know, the simcha of Matan Torah is that it becomes a part of us. It becomes a part of us. It came down to literally merge with us, like food merges with the body, and it goes into your mind, and it comes into your heart, and that's the big difference between Torah and anything else. I mean, there's so many big differences, you know, right? But if you know more physics, are you a better person, right? If you know more biology, more chemistry, right? If you have more money, does that make you a better person, right? All that stuff is never becomes really a part of you, that you're called a more evolved and superior being. All it is it makes you more marketable. But you're not bad, you're more marketable. You're not bad to a superior creature if you know these things or if you have money. And that's what Rav Yosef is saying. Right, Elavuya, the Kogarm, Kamiyos, Veshuga. A man without Torah, he's only as good as his market value. Torah liberated us from the marketplace. You know, it's not that are you a doctor? Are you a lawyer? Which all means how marketable are you? No, the Torah makes you a superior creature. Torah could be totally, assimilate with your being. That a person who learns Torah is a more refined and a more spiritual creature, and has a higher level of tikkun than a person who doesn't learn Torah. And that's not true by any other attribute, not physics, not biology, not chemistry, not money, not political influence. Those things make you more marketable as long as you have them. And so he said, and that's really what he's alluding to. Kama Yosef Ika Beshuka. The Torah is absolute value that really merges with the human being, and it liberates us from the marketplace. It gets us out of the market. You have a question?
Is it just learning it that
Yeah.
The Torah also says you have to live by the commandments.
It's both.
Is it just learning or
it's both.
According to the book?
It's both. Kol Omer Ein Li Ela Torah Afilu Torah Ein Lo. Someone says, I only have Torah, I don't do mitzvahs. Even Torah he doesn't have. You have to be committed to doing for the light of Torah to settle in you. If you're not committed to doing, the light of Torah doesn't settle with you. It doesn't settle in. So if intellectually you know a lot of information from the Talmud, none of it settles in if you're not committed to doing. Because if you're not committed to doing it with your arms and legs, why should the Torah settle in your arms and legs? Why should it settle in your body? Right? Correct. But it's more than that. Since Torah becomes a part of you, the same Rav Yosef, interesting, the same Rav Yosef, whose nickname was Sinai, says elsewhere in Shas, Hizaru bezaken sheshachach talmudo, sheluchas v'shivrei luchas menachram. Let's say a Talmid Chacham. If you're a doctor, right, and you forgot all your medicine, right? Or you're a lawyer and you forgot law, right? You can't be a doctor anymore. You can be president of the United States, but you can't be a doctor, you can't be a lawyer, right? Right. Shem Yerachim. Okay. Right. Can't do anything useful if you lost your marbles except the presidency, right? So, right? But that's not the halacha by a Talmid Chacham. A person who was a bona fide Talmid Chacham, right? The halacha is you have to give him honor, even if he forgot. You know, Nebuch, he went senile, he has Alzheimer's. And we learn out from Shivrei, because the broken luchot that we got, the first tablets that broke, are also munachim. They also get an ark, right? Right? And you know who said that? Rav Yosef. The same Rav Yosef who appreciated what Shavuos is, because Torah becomes a part of you. And that same Rav Yosef had that experience actually happen to him. We find a few places in Shas that he went blind at the end of his life, and he forgot a great deal of his learning, and his Talmid Abaye reminds him, Amrislan, you already told us this. Right? Why are you asking? Right? He lived this. He lived the Shavuos thing, that Torah came down and really, really becomes a part of you. Really, really becomes a part of you, to the point that even if your biological brain no longer, you know, is not functioning, it's still in you. It's still in you, right? And you'll be reunited with that Torah consciously in Olam Haba. Right? And by Tchiyat HaMeitim, the Or HaTorah is in you. Right? It's an amazing thing. And that's great. That Kol HaMi'ol V'Lechem, you have to, you know, we eat on this day, right? To a place that Torah is like food. It becomes a part of you. Similarly, besides the fact that we convert all the Gashmias into the Tov Ma'od. But it sits in you. It's a part of you. Like anything you eat, it's on the hips for the rest of your life, right? Except of this, even after, you know, even after Chibur HaKeva, it's also part of you, right? That's the Milo, right? So, and that's with this we get to what Nase Vinishma is. Nase is just a commitment to do, but I don't need to understand. But Vinishma is that it's we're not just going to obey, we're going to be able to hear and understand. The Or HaTorah, not just the obedience, not just going to be the dictates, but it's also going to be Tameh HaDavar. That's what the Nishma represents. So we have to be first Nasa, just committed to doing. And then there's a higher level, committed to doing, but also to internalize and to hear the beautiful music and the reasoning of Torah. As Nefesh Chaim points out, Tam, taste, is also the Lashon for musical movement, the Ta'amim. You know, when a person understands the reasons of Torah, it's both delicious and it's beautiful music. That's the Vinishma. That comes after, and after you're committed to doing, like you said, after you're committed to performing, it sells it, and then you hear. And I just want to say one more word on this. According to some opinions, we said Nase Vinishma on this day, Erev Shavuos, right? And we understand the special level of the second commitment. You know, but there's another message here. This last day, all right, that we have to prepare for Matan Torah, right? The last day that we count, right? You know, and then we're going from finite to infinite. But, you know, finite to infinite is like, it's not one more step. How do you go? How do you make the jump? It's a very interesting thing. There's, you know, everyone knows that you guys have the custom, you say Pirkei Avot, during the summer months, you know. So we say, you know, we finish reading the Pirkei Avot in the last Shabbos before Shavuos. And that's Perek Kinyan Torah, sixth Perek, and it says, Mem Chetran, the 48 ways Torah is acquired. So they say, name the Kotzko Rebbe, that's connected to the days of the Omer. 48, and then last day, you review them all. That sounds like a cop-out. Just admit it doesn't fit, right? And now, last day, you review it all. No. Because on this last day, we have to face the fact that we have to make a quantum leap, right? There's not one more step to take. So what do you do on the last day? And what you do ever in life, wherever you hear, you hit a wall, you hit an impasse, what's the answer to get over the wall? To go from, and in our case, to go from finite to infinite. So it says in Nefesh HaChaim, accept upon yourself all Malchus Shamayim. Make another acceptance. And that's another reason why they had to have a second acceptance, if according to the opinion that was on Erev Shavuos, right? You hit an impasse because we have to go from finite to infinite. So there's only 48 ways to acquire Torah because Torah is infinitely away and we ran out of steps. We ran out of steps. So on the last day, review them, just double down. Deepen the commitment. Reviewing means deepening commitment. Say again, another Kabbalah, right? Another acceptance. You know, I have to deliver. Rabbi Welkin said, I have to say some Kabbalah, right? So the Nefesh HaChaim says that there are many, many universes, and they're all connected. And in what way are they connected? That the bottom rung of one universe, which is the Malchut, which in the human being is to accept Ol Malchut Shamayim, that becomes the Keter, right? The crown, meaning the start of the world beneath, right? And he says over there in Haggad and Sharaf that this great Kabbalistic idea has a simple human application. If from Malchut, which is the midah of acceptance of Hashem's yoke, you know, his Kabbalah's all, right, makes a keter, makes a new beginning, and gives new ratzon. And the human being also, he says, an eitzah that there always is. Whenever you hit an impasse, re-accept yourself, kabbalat ol malchut shamayim, which is what we do on this day, which is malchut sheba malchut. It's malchut. Malchut. It will become a keser. It becomes like a crown. It becomes a new beginning. You know, on this day, we have to, you know, once again, double down on our commitment to do and to hear, right? To do and to do it to the point that we hear the beautiful music and the schut of the doubling down our commitment, which involves reviewing all the 48 ways, right? We double down our commitment so that Kabbalat Ol Malchut, on this day of Malchut Shemalchut, will give us, you know, fresher koiches, fresh energies to be worthy and to work with the infinity of Torah. Thank you very much. Good Yom Tov.